Hello, hello, and welcome to another Walking Session podcast. Maz Miller here. A disclaimer that I don't do disclaimers. While I'm a psychologist, this is not therapy. You know the drill. Take what resonates with you, throw the rest out, and let's get going. Literally. So as always, I'm really, really hoping that you're out there going for a walk or spending some time in nature while we're doing this. A little bit of life admin or podcast admin. I'm slowly working my way through, you know, social media, and I think I've mentioned revamping the website. I'm normally someone that rushes through these things, but I was like, what's the hurry? The people don't care. As long as they get to listen to the podcast somewhere, that's all that matters. But yeah, I'm trying to set all those spaces up. Just so there's more and more information for you and more ways to, I guess, connect and find the podcast. And what I did do this week, as I was prepping and kind of thinking about what kind of episodes I want to do, I thought, oh, I'm just going to ask the people, let the people speak. And I've asked people to just sort of add their own things in a comment box, or what was it called, a question box on Instagram or whatnot. And that worked out really well. I've got lots of stuff to talk about now, which is really, really good. Some of you have given me scenarios, some of you have asked direct questions, and some of you have just given me topics. And you know what? That's brilliant, because I sometimes like to answer questions, I sometimes like to give opinions, and then other times I just want to talk about a particular topic that I know something about, or if I don't know something about, that's also exciting because I get to research it. Or anyway, so thank you for that. I just wanted to say thank you for that and keep them coming. If nothing else, just jump on my Insta and always send a DM, or if you have a question that you want addressed in the podcast, just do it there. Easy peasy. All right, before I keep rambling on, I'm just going to jump into this one, and I may or may not, I don't know, I don't have a favorite. I actually didn't pick a favorite. I was just like, what do I want to talk about today? And this one really, I really, really like. So I've got given a topic, just a straight up topic, love it. And it is, not everyone shows up like you do. Oh, how good is that one? Or if you've never noticed it, that not everyone shows up like you do, maybe this is a lesson you're in the middle of, you know. I certainly can say that in my early years, or definitely my 20s, I've had many a disappointing time that left me confused because I didn't learn this lesson that not everyone shows up like you do. I just had this like naive perspective that if I would help people in certain situations, they would help me, or if I would approach certain things the same way, they would too. And yeah, I just kind of saw the world in that my eyes view. Like, I didn't have the depth and the breadth that no the broadness to realize how different we all are and how different we do things. And I then feel like I also swung the other way, and then it was really black and white. Then it became, you see it my way or you can piss off, my way or the highway. Like, either we see this the same way and we're on the same path. And I feel like along the way, I kind of have swung somewhere else. There's a little bit of like, we're all imperfect. We all do things different, but there's also a line. There's still a black and white line that I wouldn't cross. So let me elaborate on all of those things further. Obviously, I haven't been asked a question, so I'm just going to go on and on. It is a big lesson to learn that not everyone shows up like we do. And I think the bit that confuses all of us, and the reason why we do it this way, is that on the outside, we all kind of look the same, right? And I always use this analogy with my clients. I say, you walk around and say you're traveling and you go to the airport and everyone has a suitcase. And you're like, yeah, of course they do, they're traveling. And then you look around and you sort of go, but everyone's suitcase looks a bit different, but they're still all suitcases, so we must all be the same. But what you don't realize is that then you don't go further to A, know that different people are traveling to different destinations, so you're not all going to be on the same path, or some of you might be on your journey for part of the travel and then and the next bit they, you know, you might arrive and they go somewhere else or whatnot. And then above all, what is in your suitcase can be so different. Again, you both might have shoes, but there could be different shoes. You might have more pairs of shoes. They might only have one pair of shoes because shoes are not as important to them as they are to you. And vice, some of you might have no makeup. Some of you might have heaps of makeup. Some of you might have active wear. Some of you might not have active wear. Can you see where I'm going with this? Some of you might have a book. Some of you might not have a book. All suitcases, all at the airport, all heading somewhere, all the same, but all so different. And I think the nuance or the guide that has helped me is seeing the things in the suitcase as my values, right? What is it that's important to me? I talk about values a little bit because they are a little bit of a compass in life. Like, what's important to you is not always going to be important to others, right? It's not illegal not to exercise. If it's important for you to exercise, then you've got to kind of think about, okay, how much do I value that? Or do you just value health? And it might look different to just exercising every day. It entails a broader thing of things, but, or do you need, like, see how, oh gosh, even as I'm saying it, like, it's so complex. And I guess, and then it also differs in who you need to have those things. What you expect from a partner can be different from a friend, can be different from a family member, can be different from a work colleague. It's almost to find someone that ticks all of the boxes the exact same way, I think is, I don't know, near damn impossible. I almost feel like if you meet someone that mirrors you that hard, that everything is the same, then you might be dealing with a narcissist rather than the exact same person as you. But also, as I say that, why would you want to be around the exact same person as you? You're already you. Why do you need someone else to be the same? That seems a little bit like a, I don't know, a bit boring. Or even like a recipe for just having a yes ma'am rather than someone who's going to challenge some of your beliefs or rock some things for you to rejig them yourself. And I don't mean challenge your beliefs, like, why do you do that? Although sometimes, yeah, some of us do that as well. I mean more so like, oh, that's interesting. I see it this way, and you can agree to disagree, or you can, one of you can swing one way or the other. You know what I mean? It's the open-mindedness. But also, when I speak of these values, some things are dead set important across the board. I will always pack a toothbrush. If you don't pack one ever, we're going to have a problem. Like, right? Like, we're going to have a, that's a bit like, and it's not because I judge your teeth. It's a bit more like, why would you not brush your teeth every day? That would be a bit weird, right? That would be, anyway, I'm using like analogies. I'm trying to get there. But essentially what I'm saying is the reason why this is so complex is because you almost have to have like the standards or the values for yourself, and you've got to be a good thing. And I don't know, I've probably said it here before. A good thing to do is literally just Google values or ChatGPT. What are the most common values in people? Pick 10, pick 20, then order them in priority, and then have a think about, you know, my top three I'd like to have in all my relationships in some way. It might be like, has to align 80%. Say like, let's go with health. If health is important to you, and say you're meeting a new partner, health also needs to be important to them. But you might say, okay, but at 80%, I'm happy with them. They don't have to do every single thing I do, but I definitely need them to drink filtered water. I don't know. I just said it because I'm sipping unfiltered water as we speak. Or that might not be important to you. Does that make sense? And you also don't have to go into all control freak mode and work all these things out. I think what's important is to have those key things like health. If that comes in number one, then you start to kind of look around the world and the people that you spend a lot of time and effort with and workplaces that you're in that value those things as well. So you don't want to work somewhere where you're going to get burnt out if health is important to you. You want to be around people who also value the right balance. But let's say if you're someone that's like success no matter what the cost, then health might not be your priority, because health might be the cost and you want to do things no matter what the cost. Does that make sense? And it's kind of like, it's not like a better than, lesser than situation. Nobody's better or lesser than. We're just different. And again, like in the workplace, you might be able to, I'm saying this, that health is so important to you, but you might go, well, I only work there, I don't know, 2 days a week. And within those 2 days of when I'm there, I can focus on my own stuff and make sure that I'm living within my values, so it doesn't actually bother me what everyone's doing. I can do it my way, if that makes sense. And those values are important to me. So can you see how it's important to be around systems and structures and workplaces and people and relationships where your values are seen and heard? And that's it. That's really that. The other thing is that it's not always the option. Like, I'm now idealizing the amazing life, right? This is not always going to happen. You might have someone in your family. It might be your brother. It might be your sister. It might be an in-law. It might be whatever. It might be one of your kids, like, who doesn't see things the same way. If my daughter, obviously, I'm going with health. Yep, value health. Would like to pass that value on to my kids. The way I do that is by showing them a healthy lifestyle and speaking things that around that topic into, like, you know, around them. They're hearing the word, they're seeing the action, and then they choose. If one of my daughters becomes a teenager who wants to eat a Macca's every day, am I going to be happy about that? No. Am I going to disown her? No. So see how we're saying these things, but it's not always possible to be in the world and be putting these standards onto everyone, right? So I guess that's the other thing. It's kind of deciphering how you navigate this and understanding. I think that's the thing, understanding why other people do things differently. And your first instinct will be, because the topic is not everyone shows up like I do, the first thing will be that you'll go, what the hell is wrong with them? Because it makes no sense. And then you'll see it from your side and you'll go, okay, I'm going to pause right here for a sec because there's a lawn going on. Of course it's happening right now. People don't value peace like I do. Far out. All right, I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. That might take too long in my time to do this. My man's free time might be gone and might not get to it. So let's just deal with the background noise as we may. All right, so what I was trying to say is it's not always helpful to just discard people, right? It's not always helpful to just go, my daughter doesn't value health, therefore see you later. And I don't know, I'm a little bit like, I'll swing the other way in a minute, as you'll hear, but like, I'm a little bit like, I don't think people need to be discarded so easily. I think that we all go through different seasons and tough times, and sometimes they last longer, sometimes they don't. I more feel like sometimes it's nice to put your own health first, obviously. So the boundary of maybe removing yourself or taking a step back and just doing as much as you can without the cutting out. I think that people who are going through their own stuff can feel that way, and that's totally understandable, because then you've got so little energy to give. And if someone is around you while you have so little to give, who needs so much, it can be really, really hard. But yeah, I think sometimes it's just like not closing the door, right? Just leaving things as they are, or having that open and honest conversation about, hey, I just need some space maybe, or I'm not doing so great, I don't have much to give or whatnot, is always helpful. Not always helpful, not everyone's safe to have that conversation with either, right? But yeah, I guess that is the disclaimer. While I'm so not, I guess when I hear other people talk about this doesn't align with me, and if I get nothing out of them, then they can be out of my life. Or if I hear people say things like, it doesn't work for me, I sometimes think, oh, okay, cool. The solution doesn't always have to be cut that person out. Sometimes it can just be distance yourself and wish them well from afar. Sometimes it's definitely necessary too. Like I said, no judgment for what other people need. Like, you might just not have it to give it. you might feel different in 5 years' time. But yeah, all of this to say, what's the word? The word like inhibition and holding yourself back and having to, you know, like process something that you're going through, all that takes energy. So if you're in a season where you're so busy, you have so much going on, or maybe you're not sleeping, yeah, like it's hard to find that energy to do those things. It seems like the easy and obvious option is to just leave and walk away or remove yourself from those people. But yeah, like I said, I don't know about the disposable bit. I think take a step back, think about how important it is to you, think of the ways, and then of course there are toxic people around, and it's not always healthy or good for anyone to stay in that space. So the other thing that I get from this is when someone says not everyone shows up like you do, maybe there's also a bit of okay, when somebody needs help, you're first to jump in, or when somebody you know, some things emotionally trigger different people differently. I think especially when you've been through some stuff in life, I think like it's really easy to sometimes when you've been through a similar situation, it's easy to see yourself in that situation and want to do what wasn't done for you, or want to jump in and save. So this is the bit where we talk about that drama triangle. If you haven't heard about it, just Google it. The drama triangle image will be particularly helpful to you, because it essentially talks about the different roles that we take when we are triangulated in the space of drama and things happening over and over and over. So it's Cartman, it's not me that made it up. And the different roles are, so there's the victim, there's so many different versions, but from what I know, there's the victim, there's the rescuer, and there's the persecutor or the judge. And what happens is if you imagine them in a triangle, when there is a situation that's happening, you might go, okay, let's think of something I can relate to. Oh, this doesn't involve other people, but just let's talk about my allergy. Oh my God, I can't believe after all these years of touching grass, I've got a severe grass allergy. That's me being a victim. If I'm in a conversation with someone about my grass allergy, they might feel the need to rescue me. And this has happened many occasions where people say, oh, maybe you can do this. Maybe you can use a spray. Maybe you can practice on concrete. Maybe you can, and obviously I appreciate that. And all those things have crossed my mind. So that might be one person's, but see how we stay in that space of, but I'm still the victim of this. It's still never going to be the same if I'm in that role and then in the rescuer role. And then starts to switch. So the rescuer then goes, well, fuck, Maz doesn't even want the option of getting help with this allergy stuff. And you become the persecutor, right? Then you become the judge that says, well, it's your own fault then. I've just given you some options. You never fucking want to take them. And then I, as the victim, start to go from either I'm like, you're so mean. Now I'm still the victim, or I might jump into the rescuer thing and go, I know, you're trying to help. And this is it. And it's just this ongoing triangle. It just keeps going and going and going. And the only way out of the drama triangle is to be what we call the coach. And, you know, if Maz is whinging about grass allergy, you say, whoa, that sounds hard. What are you going to do? And how do you think you could do that? And what do you think might be helpful? Not rescuing me, not judging me for my choices. Just like that gentle coaching, guiding, like, fuck, that sounds full on. Or you might have, you know, something that might pop to mind. And of course this is in different settings, right? Like if I'm in therapy and someone says, I'm looking for resources, and if I'm seeing someone, they go, I'm looking for resources on allergies, then you can give them the resources on allergies and help them. But otherwise, you just kind of allow the person to get through it themselves. If you're a people pleaser, this will be really hard. If you're empathetic, this is really, really hard. But it does allow you a little bit of room to go,
Like, why am I jumping in and taking responsibility? And at times, it's totally fine, by the way. This is not teaching you to never, ever help anyone. This is just one of those things where some people will directly ask you to do something because you're the only person that can do it, and you can then choose whether that's what you want to do. So that's a little bit different. I guess it's more to show the picture of when anything, any issues or conflict or drama is broken up in your life and you feel like not everyone is jumping in and saving, then maybe it could be good, like I said, because you've been directly asked. And at other times, just sit back and go, am I being a rescuer here? Like, and why? Like, why am I doing this? Why am I jumping in? And it can be as simple as, I know how hard it can be to go through things on your own. It can be that simple. I'm really passionate about this, so I want to help. But you always want to be helpful without taking the power away from someone, right? Yeah, and then the last thing that also pops in my mind when I think about the statement, not everyone shows up like you do, is or like I do, whatever it says, like you do, is, or you might be listening to this and taking it as I do, is also making the decision that you'll do it anyway. And this is not in a pushover way. This is not a I allow people to take advantage of me way. Sometimes it's just what you want to do, even though they don't. You might choose to buy your sibling a birthday present, full well knowing they'll never buy you one. But it's important to you. I can feel, like, I don't know, the energy of people going, fuck them, I'm not buying them one if they don't get me one. That's your prerogative. That's cool. But, you know, I'm just using a real simple example here. You know, you might, there are certain things in your life that you might go, yeah, I don't care if nobody, if the other side doesn't want to do this, this is what I want to do. Like, this is a real life. I love making platters. I love putting on a lot of food. I don't give a shit if someone else doesn't. Like, I'm not going to go somewhere else and redo my hospitality based on that, right? Because it's what I genuinely love and it makes me so happy to do it. So I don't give a shit, okay? So that's, I know that's a simple thing. But whatever it is for you, like, this is the thing. Like, if any of this conversation is triggering you, maybe just sit with some of those and go, is that something I would change regardless? Or am I just happy doing what I'm doing as I'm doing it because this is just who I am and this is how I like to do things? Does that make sense? So it's always taking that. The thing with self-help and the thing with therapy and the thing with psychology, and again, I'm not encouraging, remember, I can't think of every situation. I'm not encouraging you to keep going back to the cheating ex because you're so forgiving, but then there's domestic violence and manipulation. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? So there are plenty of situations where you don't apply this. Please use your own judgment here. What I'm saying is, the thing with self-help is you'll never get it right. You're never going to be doing any of this perfect. You're literally just going to go to one level and then to the next and to the next. And sometimes you'll be in the same situation multiple times, but you'll identify it sooner than the last time and then you'll get yourself out quicker. And it's just a forever learning. What is it? New level, new devil. Until you get there and you sort of go, oh, okay, well, God, this looks too familiar. I'm not doing that again. Like, that lesson I've definitely got my head around pretty good, that as soon as I go into it a little bit, I'm just not, you know. Like, I'm going to talk a little bit about whether that's like, whether that's a clinical thing and you've been through cycles of maybe depression or anxiety, or, you know, like, that might be a thing that you go, wow, I've been down this road before. Like, I know last time that I started partying heaps, that didn't end well as much as it looks good now. So let me reel it in. Or maybe you don't even say no to partying or drinking. You might just say, I'll just try it once and see how I feel. And then you go down to 3 days of it and then you realize how bad it is. You know, whatever it is for you. I just also don't want anything that I'm saying for you to go, well, I did that and I stopped rescuing and then something else popped up, because it definitely will. So just know it's not an arrival situation. There's always new things about yourself. And I literally just had this conversation with my husband 10 minutes ago. I was saying to him, work on yourself is the hardest work, because you only know yourself. Like, you're literally in your body, in your mind, perceiving the world, and you've done it that way for a long time. at least until your mid-20s when your brain was fully formed, until you went, oh, do other people see this differently? You know those things online where people will say, oh, when you close your eyes, do some people just see black? And there's people that go, yeah, I do. And other people go, oh my God. Or some people have a narrator in their mind and they're like, do other people not have a voice? And they're like, what? So you only know what you know. And there are so many aspects of your personality and your habits and the way you do things. It's a lot of layering. So you might need to hear rescuer, rescuer, rescuer 50 times before you go, holy shit, do I rescue people? And it has to happen in your own divine timing. It can't happen when the first time someone identifies it and tells you it, right? Or you might go, oh, wow, that's now translated into something else. Shit, I'm doing it there as well. And you start to untangle, untangle, and it gets better and better. And it's always a new situation, I think, especially for this line of people-pleasing stuff. Like, you might go, oh, my God, I'm doing what other people want. I'm not doing that anymore. And then you're like, but what do I do instead? Because I've done it this way. So then that's a whole nother journey, right? So patience, my friend. Grace with yourself. Be easy. Take it easy. Don't be critical. Don't expect overnight miracles. All right, I'm going to end this one today with a poem. Yes, a poem. Stick around to it. It's not Rosa Blue, okay? No, Rosa Red, Sky's Blue. Not that. But I'm going to read it. And I've posted this many a time. I just love it so much because I feel like it's so relevant. So I'm going to read this to you. It is, oh, I do have her name at the end. It is by Portia Nelso. I've first heard this one from Wayne Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer, the lovely. And yeah, it's just stuck with me. So I'm going to read it out. And this is a biography of her life, real quick. Chapter one. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I'm hopeless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it is there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. And then you'll probably, if there were more chapters, if she was telling us the whole story, chapter 6 would be, oh, I see a familiar street. I've never been down this street. Hang on, I fall back in. That's life, guys. That's life. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Share, like, do all the things. It's just me. Just me doing things here. I'm not editing. I don't have a whatever. Whatever people do in podcasting. I actually, on that note, heard someone talk about this whole thing. I'm just starting this. I'm going to have this. And I was like, oh, well, I'm just sharing for the love of it, right? For the value of it, because it makes me happy. And I like to think that it's helping someone out there. So if one of you is getting something out of this, then that is warms my heart. Just warms my heart. All right, we're leaving that one there. I will catch you next time. Bye.